on the 6th of February, 1989, talking with Tembi Argal at his home on Taconic Road in Salisbury. Now we're going to get going with you, Tembi. Where were you born?
I was born at Sharon Hospital.
Okay, good for you.
August 1st, 1935.
And who were your mother and father?
Dad is Paul Tembi Argal, mm-hmm. also born in Salisbury area. He was born at home.
Oh.
Mother is from Virginia.
And she was a what?
A Richie.
Who are the Bartle? Somebody told me you're related to a Bartle.
Right. That's Dad's grandparents. His mother was a Bartle, Mary to Joseph Argal. My great-grandfather was Captain William Bartle, who was born in Cornwall, England. And my great-grandmother was Eliza Jane Tembi. She was born in Magruth, which is also in the Duchy of Cornwall. And they came to the States after he married in 1863, initially working, he was a mining engineer, worked in the mines in Cornwall, which I guess now have become pretty much defunct. Initially he worked in some of the ore mines in New Jersey, and then went out to Ishpeming.
Where?
Ishpeming.
How do you spell Ishpeming?
Well, you have to give me a minute. I'm not quite sure they can. It's where they used to have a big ski jump, I think, about the same size as the one in Salisbury.
Oh.
And I think they still have national ski championships out there. But they arrived, he worked for the Barnum Richardson Company, which had long been established here in Connecticut. And he worked for one of their mines out there, and then came to War Hill. And was captain or engineer of the ore mines, The Bartles had 15 children, 12 of whom became adults. If you're interested, can't show. There's a picture of them.
I wish and a list of their
it.
Children.
May we copy the
sure.
photocopy this?
Yeah. But if you turn to the next page, you'll see a picture. It looks like it was before the debutante ball somewhere of the family.
That's great. That's wonderful. We'll photocopy this if we may and put it in your folder. Great.
Now my great-grandfather, Captain Bartle, lived in, I guess you would call it Ore Hill. It was at the corner of Route 12 and the road to New Mountain. And what the right across the Great Pond. And the house I think now owned by Tom Pony.
Yes.
That was the family homestead. And in turn, he or his son Alfred was the one who built the Lake Farm and lived there for a number of years. Anyway, my grandmother, Dad's mother, Ellen, was the eldest of the 15. She had been born while they were still. My grandfather, Dad's father, Joseph Argal, also was born in England, in Cornwall. And he came, I think about the same time as Captain Bartle, to superintend the mine. Eventually, he was in charge of the underground mine. I can't tell you exactly when they switched from above ground to below ground. I just think they were scarce. My great-grandfather died in 1904 at the age of 60. And there's just a marvelous article in the Lakeville Journal about it. He must have been quite a person.
Just an aside right here. I always thought that the Bartles and Argles were Methodists from the days of John Wesley. At least that's what I got from my Aunt Bessie Argle there. But someone sort of hinted that during the wintertime it was difficult to get to church. I think that church being St. John's, because they'd come on a sleigh across the lake. And there's a shorter trip to go to this church at Lakeville. But I really thought, you know, they always had been in with John Wesley to start with, the way Aunt Bessie did. There are not many Bartles around anymore. In fact, John Bartle, who lives in on Mountain Road, is the only Bartle in this area. Out of that progeny of 12 living children, there were several that I knew. Uncle Harry and Uncle Tom, they both gone to Hotchkiss. Uncle Harry eventually became a barber. He became a dentist in Torrington. And he died in 1946. And he and Aunt Elsie had no children. Uncle Tom was a bachelor, and he and his brother John Tempe ran a grocery store at Falls Village for years, with Aunt Annie, who was a spinster, I guess keeping household. She died in 32. You spell it ISPHEMING.
Thank you.
Stop just a second. I don't know whether
Yeah.
I grew up in Lakeville. As had my father, and as had his mother for most of her life. Went to local school. I had a sister, 6 years younger than I am.
What's her name?
Susan Bell. After her aunt, Beatrice Bell. Beatrice Bell.
So you finished here, 12th grade.
Went to college, went to Yale, and then left the school. Then started residency in the Army. Then, after the Army, started a medical residency at Franklin Hospital. Was married and moved away from, I really hadn't been here since college, since 57.
And you have children?
I have three daughters. Emily, my oldest is 21, Alex, my little daughter is 19, I think, and so they live with their mother in Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
I came back to this area really after 29 years and October 84.
What do you find different, or did you find different about this? When you were an adult when you came back.
Well, certainly there's a faster pace in life, and yet I don't know whether there's really any basic change. I always remember that the area was very wealthy, that land was very expensive.
Always.
And that really none of my schoolmates stayed here. And that you had to be either independently wealthy or you worked for the person who was wealthy.
I've heard it said, some people I've talked to before, that it wasn't until the quote-unquote weekenders arrived and began paying a decent wage to the people you're talking about, the workers, that people were able to survive here, that they were paid almost nothing to cut lawns and clean out stables, and that they were really very low, with a low scale.
Well, I think there weren't too many middle-income families. Mm. thing my cousin Bill Barnett had, and that is this store, it's with Ben Franklin's store. Mm-hmm. But among, you know, those old classmates, they're very sure.
Now, how's Bill Barnett related to you?
Okay, his mother and my father's mother were both Bartles.
Hmm. And he had the dime store.
Correct.
And where was your father? In that complex
now?
Now it's
complex at Noel. Yes, the next complex.
Where
over.
The Western Union was.
Correct. And where Bessie Miller had a marvelous luncheon.
Not when I came at 49,
yeah.
And that was
Carl
gone.
Carl
Isaacson. That's right. Okay. And where'd you live? Where were you living?
We lived just on the other side of what's now the, what's it called, Iron National Bank, which used to be the Milk Bar.
The Milk Bar.
Yeah, we were just east of that, up on a knoll, in Cape Cod.
That driveway that's so difficult.
No. A little bit further.
Oh, further?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I know.
My mother and dad bought that when they were first married, and I think it was built by Glenn Coles. Mother Argyle's house was down on Orchard Street. Mm-hmm. And another sister of Mother Argyle's had the house on the corner where Edwin Dan was now.
Okay. All right, here we go again. This is Tembi's wife. Same date, same house, same address. And her name is Orlena Peruski Argyle, who was born where?
I was born in New York City, but came back here probably a few days old. And my parents had lived here, and I was brought up from then at the Housatonic Bookshop, which was opposite the White Hart Inn in Salisbury.
Yeah.
And I lived there until I left, well, until my parents were divorced in 53.
When were you born?
I was born in May 21st, 1936. And my mother was Elvia Scoville Peruski, and my father was Maurice Peruski. He was from Brooklyn. And had started a bookshop, I believe, in 34 after having had one in Cambridge. But my mother was born and brought up in Taconic.
Hmm.
She is the one who, of course, has the connection from around here to Scoville. Her father was Herbert Scoville. Her mother was Orlena Zabriskie Scoville, who was also from Brooklyn. Herbert Scoville was one of six Scovilles who, I guess, actually they weren't born here. I guess they must have, I don't know if they were born here or born out in Buffalo. And then his father and mother were Nathaniel Scoville and Francis Wasson Scoville. And they linked back here. And Nathaniel and Francis were actually married in Buffalo because Nathaniel and his brother Jonathan had gone out to Buffalo from where their farm was on Under Mountain Road. And I believe, let's see, Nathaniel was born in 1835, or about then anyway. He died in 1890. And apparently, and I get most of this information I have through the years from Lois Warner Beers, she really has kept track of this. Nathaniel and Jonathan went out there, oh, probably they were in their 20s or 30s, so that was before the Civil War, on their farm on Under Mountain Road, there was excellent iron ore. It was apparently 7% pure. And they had the bright idea of going out there to use the ore to make wheels for the trains. And that's how they made their money. I guess. They were just two guys that had an idea and went out there. And then there's proof, which I can get, that Lois Warner Beers has found out that they really were very successful. But when Nathaniel was there, he met this Francis Wasson, that's W-A-S-S-O-N, and her in Buffalo. And Lois Warner Beers found this later. Well, anyway, she found later, she found, because she lived out in Rochester, or lives there now, and she found later a map of Buffalo for 1865, and Nathaniel and Jonathan on that directory were advertising the Scoville Car Wheel Works, saying the wheels, quote unquote, the wheels were made of Salisbury pig. And when he was there, he married this Frances Wasson, who was a lot younger. She was 17, and he was in his mid-30s, apparently. And her father was Archibald Wasson, yes, that's right, who was in the business with somebody else of transporting produce around Rochester, Buffalo, that part of New York State. His partner's name was Butterfield. It just so happened that Mr. Butterfield later became a partner in the Wells Fargo company. But anyway, that's a long ways away. The Wasson, so Nathaniel married Frances Wasson, who was so much younger, and they had all together 6 living children and 2 others who died in childhood. During that time, when he was becoming wealthy, he settled his wife in New York City. They apparently lived there in 3 successive brownstone houses. He put her there while she continued to keep having children. And he died, of course, when she was with these small children, when he in 1890, which we do know it was the date, and the youngest child, Lois Scoville Warner, was 5 at the time. And is that right? Yeah, that's right. Then he, after he died, he left this widow, and I think before that they had built the house. Now, I'm not sure if it was before he died. They built the house up here on Taconic Road that later was called Stone House, but then it was a timber house, maybe with some stone facing. It later burned during the First World War. But anyway, she settled here as a very young person and hadn't been anywhere. Was in New York City during the winter and up here during the summers, and was left to run this, her share of the wagon wheel works, plus bring up these young children. They're all just adolescents on down to 5 years of age. So I think she must have sold out her part of the company. I don't really know. Lois Warner Beers would know, but if she went on trying to run it, I don't think she did. And of these children they had, was Grace was the oldest, who never married. She actually lived in this house. Then came Robert, or Rob. And then Herbert, my grandfather. Rob married Virginia, and I can't remember if her name was Van Dusen or Van whatever. And they had one child called Margot. Then, as I say, my grandfather, Herbert, married Orlena Zabriskie from Brooklyn, and they had 2 children, my mother, Elvia, and my uncle, Pete Scoville, who died about 3 years ago. And then there was Edith, who never married, who had this house. She bought this land and house. I know that Edith said it was like during the First World War, so I think she bought this immediately when the old house burned. And I remember as a child being here with my great-grandmother. I remember it vividly, because they would come here then during the summers. And I think my great-grandmother died, when did she die? It was either the end of the war or after the war, after a Second World War, I can't remember. And then there was Molly, who married John McChesney, who was teaching at Hotchkiss School. She died about 1965. And then Lois, the youngest, married Donald Warner, who was local, and she died in 1964. Now, in the cemetery, I did find Frances. I don't know where Frances, my great-grandmother, Frances Watson Scoble, was buried, but her sister, Mary, was buried down there. And and they came from Cuylerville, New York. That was it, too. I forgot that. They came from Cuylerville. And what did I find about her? She was born in 1846. Mary Wasson was born in 1846. My great-grandmother brought her back to live with her, and she died here in Salisbury in 1933.
Go again.
All right, I guess we better catch up on what I know of the where all these Scoble residents were and so forth at that time. I think the Scobles, the father of Nathaniel and Jonathan and Samuel Scoble, who by the way is buried, I know, down in this cemetery, but he died young. But Nathaniel and Jonathan's father was Samuel Scoble. I don't know who his wife was. But that older Samuel Scoble had a farm on Undermountain Road. I assume it's where the Fisher homestead was, because that's basically a Scoble house, because Jack Fisher was a Scoble. It was probably one of Jonathan and Nathaniel's sisters who was his grandmother. And Fisher Pond was part of their farm. And then on down up to the ore mine. Then they must have discovered these farmers when the ore was being mined around here, that they had excellent ore in that mountain on their farm. As I said before, it's apparently was 7% pure iron. And so the ore mine is back up in there, sort of up and back of what's now the Undermountain Inn. And it's that ore that they took out of the Buffalo to this bright idea of making the wheels for the train cars. I assume, I can't say when, but I am assuming that probably Nathaniel built the first, what we call the stone house, on this road, on Taconic Road, for himself and his wife, Frances, whom he brought back from Buffalo, and all his children. And, it had to be before 1890, because he died then. And that house then burned. It was left then to his oldest son, Roth, and it burned during the First World War, as I said before. And then Rob rebuilt it when he was married, probably in the 20s, we think, he rebuilt it, as the present house is now. And it was then later bought by the Belden family, the DeMarkins. That was it. I don't remember when they bought it. They bought it in the early 50s. I do remember now. And then
Charles Munson bought it from Scoble's.
Yes, but the Markins went in the early 50s. I remember that.
Yeah, I think Scoble's bought it and sold it to him.
Oh, all right.
Who was he?
Charles Munson was head of air reduction.
I remember him.
What's
yes.
Air reduction?
Well, the Marlins company, I guess. But I can't tell you.
But they weren't here very long.
No, they had it for a few years. Then they sold it to the DeMarkins. Mm. I mean, they may have been here, 10 or 15 years? I don't know. Mm. Rob Scoble died, by the way, that would have been my great-uncle. I never knew him. He died in 1934. Then in the meantime, my grandfather, Herbert Scoble, he had I saw photos of it, a large house that was up on the Beaver Dam Road, just right up the road. It was not a very attractive house, and it was a big old house. I don't know if he built it or not, or who originally built it, but it burned down, I know, in the 1920s when my mother and Uncle Pete were children. Actually, they were staying the night, I remember hearing the story, they were staying the night the fire happened, it was in the winter, I think, and they were staying, for some reason, in the what's now the Wittrich House on Deconic Road. I don't know who owned it then. It was not the Wittriches, because they heard the fire trucks coming by them, went up, found it was their house on fire. And anyway, and then my grandmother, Orlena, and my grandfather, Herbert, rebuilt that house also. So actually those two houses were rebuilt. The one on down on Deconic Road, the stone house, and then what's called Hill House, Herbert's house, were rebuilt somewhat the same time in the 20s.
What about all the other buildings?
Then I think the other buildings were probably built. My guess is they were built, but someone like Jack Fisher would know more.
Hawkins talked about it.
Yeah,
said
he
you
know.
Can drive through that area and see. What was the distinguishing mark? Something about
the arches. Arches
or balconies or something. He said you could pick them out.
Not the stone house,
no.
Not the
no,
old
no, no,
stone
no.
house.
You're talking about the houses where
the tenants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, tenants didn't. Oh, where the tenants lived,
yeah.
Yes. But also, you see, there's an electric house. The house where the Myskins are now was a studio. The ones where the Pogues had, and I don't know who owns it, somebody Sachs from New York now who doesn't really live there. Was I remembered as the
powerhouse,
yes. Then there was the stone house next to it, which they didn't build. It's a very old, it's one of the oldest buildings in the town. They built a lot up in there, I assume. I know the water supply for all of this area, including both the big house, the stone house, and Hill House, was, I remember it, the old pump house down at Pump House Road. And it was amazing the water supply that came from there. And it was pumped up to a big tower, which is still on the Hill House property. It was pumped in to all the water. Then by the time the DeMarcans bought that property, it was all, they all dug wells and so forth.
I remember Mr. DeMarcan saying that you could have, you could have irrigated, you could have watered the entire Taconic area with the water system they had. Which came down, no, it didn't come down here, you had your own.
No.
What about the farms that your uncle planted?
Yes, and they also owned Grassland Farms. Now, I don't know, I don't know when Herbert and Rob bought the Grassland Farms. They had a top Guernsey herd there, I know that. And I remember hearing that my grandfather had what we called the old Lee Farm, then it became North Wales Farm, and now it's Arden's Morgan Farm, but that was also obviously land that was right across from the old Scoble Farm. That in there, my grandfather imported the first of a certain kind of sheep from England, the first time they came over here. I don't know anything about sheep, but it was a certain, which you hear about a lot, it's a good time. So, that's really all I know about the property around. And I know they own Fisher's Pond, I know they own all of that.
Your grandfather Herbert had a son named Herbert?
Yes.
And he was Pete. Pete.
He was Pete, yes.
Okay. And his wife?
Is Ann Curtis Scoble. She was from Norfolk.
What about shoelaces?
Well, this isn't fair, because this is a story, really, of Lois Warner Beard, who was the Lois Scoble Warner's, one of her children. She remembers my great-grandmother, whom obviously better than I do. She remembers some funny stories that she had told, and one was that my great-grandmother, Frances Wasson Scoble, when she was born and brought up in Cuylerville, near Buffalo, that when Lincoln's, my great-grandmother remembers, she was about 10 years old when Lincoln died, and his funeral car came through, must have traveled, and came through Buffalo. The casket was taken off apparently for a day in Buffalo, and Lois remembers her, my great-grandmother and her grandmother telling her that she had to change the red laces on her shoes to black laces for that day. And Lois, for the longest time, couldn't imagine why, stuck down in Kylerville, and she had to change the laces. And later Lois deducted that obviously she was one of the ones who went with a casket. And of course, as a little girl, couldn't go by with red laces to see Lincoln's casket. So, or red laces on her shoes. But anyway, and then this Frances Watson Scovel, she really was uprooted and really lived her life out here and in charge of this brood and in New York City. One of the addresses was amazing. I mean, these houses, these brownstones they had in New York. The last one that I know of was at 10 East 52nd Street. I wonder what that is now.
10 East what?
52nd Street. What
probably
is it?
Wasn't all the families.
Where's
were moving
where's
up.
Mama? Where's Museum of Modern Art? That's on
53rd.
Donald Trump is probably
probably. So that's all I, you know.
Now, Ollie, what we haven't got are your children's names.
All right. I was married before, and I have two children from that marriage. And their names are, the oldest is Elvia Janu, and then Samuel Janu.
How old
is your mother's name?
Okay. Yeah, Elvia was my mother's name. Elvia is now 19, and Sam is now 17.
Okay, Tim.
Talking about my own family, not the Bartles, I'm talking about the Artles. My great-grandfather had come here. My father was the youngest of, I think, 13. But they all, as opposed to a generation before that, where 12 or 15 entered adulthood. Dad was 4. They all died at an earlier age, or one had to wrestle. His brothers had been, unfortunately, injured in an accidental gun. An older brother did marry and had a son who lived in Fall Village. They had my two older sisters, one a spinster, Beatrice, and another who taught principally in high school, like Michael. They married Reverend Dan, who was Methodist minister at the time, and a little bit they retired there. Dad was a barber his whole life. So that's the last article, and in the earlier generation, as I say, of 15 Bartles or something.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got three girls.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're still working.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Thanks, guys.